This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters in Islam, يقول الأصوليون الدين جاء لسعادة البشر ونفي الشر عنهم والضرر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messengers, revealed the books. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us a religion in order to create happiness in our individual lives and in our lives as a community. The religion is a source of happiness. One will find happiness in this world and success in the hereafter if he implement Shar'ullah, the religion of Allah, in his individual life and in a community sphere in general. وَالْآيَةِ مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Whosoever amongst you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, whoever amongst you believes in Allah, believes in the books, in the messengers, believes in the deen with certainty, without any shadow of doubt, and he confirmed that belief with the action, he will have a good life in this world. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. This is in the dunya. In the hereafter, وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And in the hereafter, they will be rewarded for the best thing they done. The best act you done, your reward will be in accordance to this best act. Look, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Whoever turns his back to this deen, to the message, to the messengers, to the books, he will have a dunk life, miserable life. Dunk. This is in the dunya. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And in the hereafter, he will be raised up blinded. Blinded. He's unable to see. He will actually say, well, how come I was able to see in the dunya? Yeah, you were able to see with your eyes, but your heart never was able to see the deen. قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. I've given you the eyes so that you can find the deen, the religion. Brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the greatest subjects of our times now, because we do have a lot of people who cast doubts about that deen, that religion, misconceptions, is understanding the higher goals behind the laws, behind the commands in Islam. You see, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you pray 5 times a day, this is not just to give you a hard time. This is just not to stop you from working. La, there is a higher objective behind it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you to lower your gaze, there is a higher goal behind it. Even in our day-to-day life, when you tell somebody do this, you know, say, why are you asking me to do this? Why? Imagine Allah commanding us to do this and not to do that. So there must be a wisdom behind these commands. And the greater wisdom is to make you happy in this world and to give you success in the hereafter, that you will inherit Jannah. And this is what the scholars call it, maqasid al-deen, maqasid al-shari'ah. I know the word Sharia now is like the recording now with the, you know, it goes up and down now. Sharia, the word Sharia, is very scary. But the objectives of the Sharia, the Sharia is a synonym of deen. Sharia huwa deen, with deen huwa Sharia. Sharia huwa deen, with deen huwa Sharia. It's the same word, it's equivalent to deen. Studying the objectives of the religion is very important. Number one, for you not to fall into these misconceptions. People doubt, ya akhi, your religion tells flogging. Is it? Kalam hada is not going to. There is an objective behind it. There is a goal behind it. Listen, it's not just for to give us a hard time. So you're able to immune yourself from the misconceptions. It's a good field for da'wah too. That you let a non-Muslim know why this command is like this. What is the purpose? What is the objective behind this? For the sake of time, the scholars, al-usuliyun from the past, said every single do in the Quran and the sound sunnah. Every single undo, do not do this. They all pour in five areas to protect five areas. Number one, to protect the deen, the religion. Because why were you created? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا. So what is the objective behind your creation? Is to be a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do not achieve this, you lost your goal. You're really doing something else. That's not the purpose for which you were created. So the protection of the religion. Two, the protection of the human life. Al-haya. The sanctity of the human life. That you can't just go and bomb people like this, kill people like this. Go in a place and just shoot people. Huh? They accuse Islam of this. Islam actually stands firm. This is against the deen, against the religion. The one I'm after today is the third one. The protection of the progeny. And I will leave it and I'll come back to it. Number four, the protection of the intellect. The human intellect. Because without intellect, look how many people die in America every year because of drunk driving. Number four in the list, by the way, causes of death in America. Why? Because you end up what? Losing your intellect. Number five, the protection of the individual property. You're entitled to your wealth. No one can take it away from you. So all the commands in the Quran, in the Sunnah, do this, do not do this, they are aimed at protecting these five areas. The one that I'm after today, and I hope the time is going to be generous with me, is the protection of the progeny. And interesting enough that the scholars given that particular objective three names. قالوا, they said, حفظ النسب. النسل, I'm sorry, that's number one. حفظ النسل, حفظ النسب, حفظ العرض. So that particular objective was given three names. Number one, the protection of the progeny. What is the progeny? To make sure that the race of Adam is ongoing. It doesn't stop. That we're producing. The production. And this is why homosexuality is always unlawful. And we're going to say it. Listen, we live in a country where sexual preferences are protected by the Constitution of the United States of America. I'm not going to interfere with your sexual preference. But you know what? I'm going to tell you it's unlawful according to the religion. Why? Because it defeats that purpose. When a man and a man sleeps together, are we going to have babies? When a woman and a woman sleeps together, are we going to have babies? Imagine if this is would spread. وَالْعَيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. The race of Adam is going to vanish from the face of this earth. That is why it's unlawful. Trump and Hillary were talking about abortion and they went head to head on it. You know what? Even though I disagree with Trump on the major issues, but I agree with him on the issue of abortion. Of course, I have to be clear here because he did not emphasize that if there is danger on the life of the mother, it is known in the Sharia that if that baby will cause the mother danger, then it can be compromised. We understand this. But it has to be imminent and present, not assumed. Not because she doesn't feel like having babies. Oh, well, I'm not ready for babies. La. Or let's not blame the sisters. We love our sisters here. The brothers. Oh, brother, you know, babies are very expensive. I'm going to have insurance. And I don't have money, but I don't have a job, brother. So let me kill the baby. Huh? La. Why? The protection of the progeny, the human. The production. Look in China what they do. They allow you one baby. You can't do this. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ. Don't kill your children because of the fear of poverty. Do not kill your children because you're assuming that poverty will come to you. The first meaning is the protection of the progeny. Add to this the protection of the lineage. That you want to make sure that the lineage is preserved. That you're having children, grandchildren, grandchildren, and the protection of the honor of the individual. This is why, brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated az-zawaj, marriage. Marriage. To protect those three. Number one, it protects the progeny, the children. A man and woman who sleep together out of wedlock, and out of wedlock, they don't normally have kids. And if they do have kids, they have it out of mistake. And that's where the abortion takes place. But when a man and a woman get married together, they will be encouraged to have children. Why? Because they have a stable what? Add to this too. This is why adultery is unlawful in Islam. Guess what? It is the right of the progeny, of the babies, of the children who are born into this world, to be born to a father and a mother committed to the cause, not to a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Huh? Not to some guy slept with some woman and she got pregnant and he ran away and she has to go and do a DNA in order to prove. La! That's why all these laws are there. This is why this religion came to institutionalize this, to make this law, to make this rules, to make these things rules, not just according. And any time you astray from these rules, you find yourself in total confusion. So marriage protects the progeny, the production, and also the fact that the new generation comes into this world to a house where there is a father and a mother, husband and wife living together. Wallahi ya ikhwa, I have a brother who runs a daycare in Virginia. Last time I talked to him, he told me, Sheikh Kareem, I have almost 20 kids in my daycare. Wallahi, he swears by Allah, 17 of them do not know their fathers. They do not know their fathers. And this is why, by the way, America is heading into a very interesting route. Because that creates a lot of psychological problems. Because the natural course, a father and a mother living together, bonding together. So the protection of the progeny. Marriage protects the lineage. That this baby, when he is born, who is his father? You don't have to go on DNA and then he could. La, his father is so and so. There is a marriage contract. A year ago or 2 years ago, he said, I accept her in marriage. He made the vow in front of everybody. And it was announced, this baby is the son of so and so. That is why Ibn Zina, the son of adultery, the one who comes out of adultery, he is defeated psychologically in the society. Who's your father, ya? Min abuk, ya? Mish arif ummi, ma. Nightmare. The protection of the honor. That's the third word. The honor of the father. Ya ikhwa, adultery has been an awful sin throughout history in every religion. Even in America here. And I challenge you, 100 years ago, a man and a woman sleeping together is unlawful. It's bad. Shame on you. In America. Shame on you. The ideal way, the right way, the husband, and we're going to see this after Jum'ah, inshallah. Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, inni istakhartu Allah ta'ala, I'm asking your daughter in marriage, will you give her to me? And it's a condition. The consent of the father is a condition for the marriage, because that's his honor. That's his dignity. Sisters right now, they go and marry without the consent of their fathers. And they run after weak fatwas. Weak fatwas. La. Marriage is invalid without the consent of the father. But be careful. Some fathers end up abusing that authority. They force their daughters into marrying certain people. La. You can't do that. Also, the wife has to be asked. The future wife, yeah. The woman has to be asked. If she's okay with it. So it's a mutual decision between the father and the mother. And if the Imam al-Muslimin, مش Imam Karim, sees that the father is manipulating that authority, he can actually transfer that authority to someone else. Take it away from the father. Just to show you, the Sharia is perfect. There is no leaks. Allah al-Hakim, al-Khabir, al-Alim brought it up. It's a curriculum for our lives. But the problem is we compromise these laws, brothers and sisters in Islam. Marriage is a beautiful institution. Is a bonding. A bonding institution in our lives. ولذلك, all the messengers and the prophets who were sent, they got married. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. We have sent to you, before you, O Muhammad, messengers, before you, and we made them have spouses and wives and children. وفي حديث الرهط, حديث أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه, حديث أخرجه الإمام مسلم في صحيحه, three individuals came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking about his ibadah. يعني without going into the hadith is lengthy and it could take us away from the subject. But at the end of the day, one of them said, you know what? I will not marry women. These women and children who will distract me from worshipping Allah, be more devoted to Allah, which they call in Christianity rahbaniyah, celibacy. He said, no, I will not marry women. I will give up this. By the way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard this, he got on the pulpit. And he said, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ مَا قَالَ الرَّهْطِ. I heard what those three individuals said. One of them, by the way, said, I will fast every single day, non-stop. One of them said, I will pray tahajjud every single night, non-stop. Extreme. Extreme. Even in that area, good area, extreme. The Prophet ﷺ said, by Allah, I'm the most knowledgeable amongst you of who Allah is. And I'm the most fearful of Allah. And listen, I fast and I break fast. I pray tahajjud at night and I sleep at night. And I marry women. I marry a woman. وَتِلْكَ سُنَّتِي. This is my deen. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Brothers and sisters in Islam, marriage is a very tough deal. I remember these days quite well where I came from. They used to show us the soap operas. Normally 30 episodes just to match Ramadan. And you know, the story is very interesting. A man and a woman are in love with one another. And every day they try to get married. And some guy, odd guy, comes in and he spoils the deal. The interesting thing, they get married in the 30th episode. Now the series is over. And they tell you they got married and they lived happily ever after. Habibi. They lived happily ever after. There is part two. They never show to you. Imagine this, ya ikhwa. Hadith fi sahih al-Imam Muslim, hadith Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma. Listen carefully. Every single day in the morning, إن الشيطان يضع عرشه على الماء. Satan, the big guy, the guy who never dies. Jinn do die, except Satan. Like a Dajjal, he's living somewhere. Exemption. Every single day he places his throne on water. You see, like he saw Allah having a throne up there, he had a throne down on water. Unlike the throne of Allah on water, greater than, he wanted to have a throne also on water. And all his jinni helpers from the jinn would come to him reporting in the morning. He would say the following to them: من أضل اليوم مسلما ألبسته التاج. Whoever does the greatest job today in misguiding Muslims, I will crown him with my own hands tonight. I will place the prizes. You're going to receive a crown tonight. The guys dedicated to the job, at sunset, they convene again. And they come reporting to him their accomplishments for the day. Watch this. And this is all, by the way, I'm just giving you the meanings of the hadith. I'm not making that stuff up. One of them will stand up and say, well, today I was able to get a Muslim to kill another Muslim. He'll say, good job. Good job, sit down. Today I was able to get a Muslim to drink, to commit adultery. You name any major sin, space, you name it. Until this one stands and he says, I did not leave a husband and a wife today until I separated them. You know what he will say to him? Na'ma ant. Anta ant. You are my man. Come. Just think about it. Reflect about it. Reflect upon it. Reflect. Reflect. Adultery is a major sin. Killing is a major sin in Islam. Drinking is a major sin. By the way, and I'm not encouraging you to divorce your wives. Divorce is not haram. It's disliked in some cases, but it's not haram. You can, as long as you're going to divorce the woman, give her rights back and respect her, you can do this. But brothers, I'm not encouraging you to do this. But the question here, why Satan was more excited of someone who divorced than the others? You don't understand. You see, like marriage brings us together, today you're going to see two families. Maybe one from the east, one from the west, are coming together because of the man and the woman. Joining. You join. Mahawa Islam. Islam is keen on joining us together, whether through a lineage or whether through the love for the sake of Allah, brotherhood, sisterhood, but being together. Togetherness is a key in Islam. And this is one of the ways to do it. Like marriage does this, you know what? Divorce does the opposite. Divorce what? Imagine those two families uniting. Divorce is what? Disunity. Add to this, the guy is so strategic. Why? Because when there are children born to this marriage, they are the one who pay the price for the divorce. Wallahi, ya ikhwa, a lot of the brothers, Sheikh, assalamu alaikum, I would like to divorce my wife. Wallahi, the first question I ask him, brother, do you have kids? Yes. Brother, you're stuck. Because what will happen here is the babies are going to be brought up by another man or another mother. Add to this, Muslims right now, they have no taqwa when they divorce. When they divorce, man, yani, you know, one of the brothers in Egypt, I called him, he said, Sheikh, inshallah, I'm going to Hajj this year. And I'm going my ex-father-in-law. He divorced his daughter, but he's still going to Hajj with him. Ma you can divorce in Islam without what? Creating. La, but Muslims now, I'm going to bring her down to her knee. I'm going to make her pay. And he goes to guess who hears all of this? So the baby with the father, he's gossiping about his mother. Your mom is this, your mom is this, your mom is this, your mom. And when he goes to the father, the mother, your father is this, your father. It's total chaos, brothers and sisters in Islam. Total chaos. So marriage is an institution that is very challenging. Yani, there is a verse in the Quran. They call it ayat al-sihr, the verse of sorcery, a lengthy verse. واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر وما منزل على الملكين بابل هاروت وماروت وما علمين. Look at this verse. The jinn or Harut and Marut are teaching the people witchcraft, sorcery. Look, فيتعلمون منهما ما يفرقون به بين المرء وزوجه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized the most devastating act of witchcraft, of sorcery, that you use it to separate a husband and wife. You could use it to do other things, but this is the most dangerous thing, that you go, and sometimes we hear in our Bible that the guy that cannot go have his wife because he's marbut, you go like he's locked or something, is sorcery. Because of this, brothers and sisters in Islam, the religion interfered with your choice of a spouse. The religion interfered with your choice of a spouse. Look, it addressed the man. Al hadith al sahihain. Tunkahu al mar'atu li arba'. A woman is asked in marriage because of four reasons, four incentives. There are four things that drive a man towards a woman. Look at this now. Jamaliha, her physical beauty. There is nothing wrong with that, by the way, that you marry a beautiful woman. There is nothing wrong with that. Two, maliha, her money. She has good education, college. She's going to take care of some of the bills. Nasabiha or hasabiha, her lineage. In America, here, ideal, she's going to give him a green card. She's going to get a green card, lineage. She's American. She's going to give a green card. Four, deeniha, because of her deen. Which one, ya Rasulullah? Which one? Look at this. Fadfar bithaki deen, taribat yadak. You better choose the one with the deen. Otherwise, one of the ways to explain that taribat yadak, you're going to put sand in your head. If you just go marry a Barbie, beautiful. If you just go marry for the money, she's going to enslave you. You lose your qawama. Aslan, your qawama, your manhood over the وَبِمَا أَنْفَاقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ الرِّجَالُ قَوْمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ مَفَضَّ اللَّهُ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَاقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. If you allow your wife to take on half of the responsibility, you lose half of your qawama. And that's why I tell the brothers, you know, his wife works and pays half of the bills, and he wants to dictate that this is لا حبيبي لا. Decision is now 50-50. You lost half of your qawama. Now, look at this. Which one should I choose, ya Rasulullah? Deen. Deen. Why, ya ikhwa? Because in practicality, we go back to the protection of the progeny. Before you choosing a wife for yourself, you're choosing a mother for your babies. Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali, one of the predecessors, Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu an, appointed him to design the grammars for the Arabic language. He called upon his children one day and he said to them, Ya Baniya, my children, I was good to you before marriage and after, before you were born and after you were born. So they looked at him and said, Father, we know how good you were to us after we were born. We saw that. You really were. But what do you mean before we were born? You know what he said to them? اخترتُ لكم أمًا لا تعيرون بها. I chose a mother for you that you can be proud of. can say this is my mother. When I chose your mother, my wife, I was thinking of you. The same thing, ya ikhwa, applies to the sisters. إِذَا جَاءَكُم مَّن تَرْضَوْنَ خُلُقَهُ وَدِينَ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. When someone comes, proposes to you, to your daughters. Again, the hadith is addressing the guardian, because I go the same point. A woman cannot give herself in marriage without the consent of her father, her guardian, whoever her guardian is. Now, if someone comes, proposes to you, you look for two things: character and deen, religion. You give these, your daughters in marriage to those people. Why, ya ikhwa? Because you're trying to bring up the new generation in the right environment. But above all, in order to face all these challenges, which are created by Satan, the head of disbelief in the face of this earth, Ra'sul Kufr, is after your marriages. He wants you to divorce your wives. And he's going to do everything. When you make the right choice, that's why the Sharia, the religion, told you, this is the wife that you should go for. Sister, this is the husband whom you should go for. Number one, to protect your children, to make sure that they are brought up in the right environment. And number two, to simply face the challenges. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين له الحمد الحسن والثناء الجميل وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له يقول الحق وهو يهدي السبيل وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Brothers and sisters in Islam, بإذن الله تعالى after جمعة we have a nikah of Brother Nadim's daughter. Inshallah, we will be talking a little bit more about, يعني in brief, inshallah, about the subject and the importance of the subject. But, you know, maybe my talk was more tuned towards brothers and sisters who did not get married yet, that you still have a chance to make the right choice. And don't compromise these instructions in the religion. But I'm looking at the crowd here and I'm seeing almost 80%, including myself, already made the choice. So hopefully I'm not inviting you to go and dissolve that marriage and start over. That's not my intention at all. I think there is a better way to handle this, is to reform yourselves. You know, sometimes, you know, if when you begin with yourself and straighten out your lives in accordance with the religion of Islam, in accordance with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this in itself, when your spouse sees this, when she or he sees this, that mashallah, you're keeping up with the five daily prayers, you're not doing the haram stuff, mashallah, my husband is... This is the best way to give da'wah to your spouse. And you have to be patient. You have to be extremely patient. And one of the reasons for divorce in the Muslim world right now, that a husband and wife married together on basis other than the religion. On a premise other than the religion. My mother told me to marry him. She is a Barbie. She has the money. And the brother or the sister, normally this happens with the sisters more. She goes to that masjid and she hears that Wahhabi imam, and I'm just kidding, you know that imam, and she just want to become now Mrs. Righteous. She just want to turn the house around. And she want to change her husband in 24 hours. All the kids, in basically extreme. La, listen, remember the contract was not on that basis. You guys, when you married together, the religion was not even a variable, was not even an element. It was not. So why are you bringing it in the middle of the game? So now let's start over. You're doing good. I will try to be a better person. What I'm trying to say is, start with yourselves. Reform your lives and allow your wives, allow your husbands, allow your spouses to grow in that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hopefully this will take the whole family, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, to a safe haven, as they say. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يحفظنا من كل سوء اللهم احفظنا من كل سوء يا رب العالمين اللهم بارك لنا في ذرياتنا وفي أزواجنا ربنا اجعل لنا من ذرياتنا وأزواجنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم أصلح أولادنا اللهم أصلح أولادنا اللهم أصلح بناتنا يا رب العالمين اللهم رد المسلمين إلى دينهم ردا جميلا اللهم رد المسلمين إلى دينهم ردا جميلا اللهم وفقنا إلى ما تحب وترضى اللهم خذ بنواصينا إلى البر والتقوى اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وأعز المسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين واهزم أعداء الدين اللهم هيئ لأمة محمد أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل المعاصي ويرد فيه الناس إلى دينهم يا رب العالمين أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قامت الصلاة قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
استقيموا استووا تراصوا استقيموا. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا فسبحان الله حين تمسون وحين تصبحون وله الحمد في السماوات والأرض وعشيا وحين تظهرون يخرج الحي من الميت ويخرج الميت من الحي ويحيي الأرض بعد موتها وكذلك تخرجون ومن آياته أن خلقكم من تراب ثم إذا أنتم بشر تنتشرون ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون
الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر.